Hello, everybody. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you can settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging that to the utmost. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, Broadway, and just around everything else. So all you have to do is settle back and stay by your phone and give us a call. Phones are working tonight. A special thank you to everybody that emailed last week in our sort of our email process instead of the phones. Actually work pretty well.
That's what I heard.
We won't do the email this week, though. I'm sort of thinking in terms of maybe we'll encourage that in the future. In other words, we'll do email and phones for those who can't get through. Sometimes people complain the phones get busy and they can't get through. And if they email,
tons of emails.
Literally, I could have papered the walls of my bathroom with it.
We have a very small bathroom, right?
It's huge. It's a huge bathroom. Anyway, yes, we did get tons of emails. So appreciate all of those, and we especially appreciate those who took the time to contribute to KLW in the name of Minds Over Matter, and that was very, very, very nice. We appreciate you putting up with our hardship last week, and appreciate you supporting KLW. Thank you very much. Okay, but we are back to the usual tonight, and our phones are working, so give us a call on those lines. That number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we have toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Also, I wish to remind you of our email address, which is Minds Over Matter, though we're not doing emails tonight. Minds Over Matter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together in one word, at yahoo.com. I understand the Russians have hacked into that, but...
They submit good questions, though.
We'll deal with them in due course. Anyway, that's Minds Over Matter at yahoo.com. And because Yahoo sent me a message saying that they're... But I think they sent that to 500 million other people, too.
They had hacked the Minds Over Matter account.
Yeah, maybe.
It's all Putin questions tonight, then.
And also, kalw.org. You can listen to the show on that site anywhere in the world, kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of the show, this particular show or many of our other fine shows, we actually had somebody who said they, when they were sick, they were listening to shows back from a year ago. But they got well anyway. And
they age well.
Yeah. So a lot of our older shows are at kalw.org. You can see how our voices changed over the years.
There were some before we were actually on the radio, as I recall.
We're banging on rocks. Just once more, 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. So we'll start with the round of introductions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman has decided that the next time it comes to town, he will not meet the Wells Fargo wagon. Is a comet down the street.
A showstopper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Music man. okay. On tonight's Minds Over Matter, Lori Fisher is looking forward to displaying all of the presidential temperament he can muster in the hopes that it will rub off on at least one presidential candidate. By this time tomorrow night, we'll know if it's worked.
That bar is set very low.
It is very low.
Very low.
But our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was musing about the similarities between the Folsom Street Fair and the presidential debate. Whippings, punishments, and hopefully leather aplenty.
That's right. Okay. And we will begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. This year, among the new words that the Oxford English Dictionary added to its pages are, one is moobs.
Moobs?
M-O-O-B-S. And an acronym, YOLO, Y-O-L-O. What do they mean?
YOLO means you only live once.
Very good.
Right.
Very good.
And is the other one M-O-O-B-S?
Yeah.
Like B-S. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
M-O-O-B-S.
Is it massive online? Am I right in that? Because there are...
No, this is a word. This is not an acronym.
Oh.
The moves. Other one was an acronym.
Okay. Oh, moves is a word.
It's a real word, believe it or not, yes.
Moops.
Hmm. Like a moob ring.
And it was recently coined to mean something, huh?
Yeah. Moob. I never heard it, but that doesn't mean anything.
It probably wasn't recently coined. It just came into more common usage.
Right. They have to establish themselves by common usage. Moobs.
Hasn't crossed the pond.
All right.
It sounds humorous. Okay. Is it a humorous thing?
Yeah, sort of.
You know, like a jerk or a moop or... All right.
A mook?
I don't know.
Oh. It's a word you could actually figure out if you think long enough.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. YOLO is one that appears online.
The okay.
Moob. All right. And let's see. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Ooh. Hi, this is Colette from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
And it's about rationing during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was bacon, ham, gasoline, sugar, meat, and out of those, which would you think was the most resented at being rationed?
The most what?
Resented?
Yeah, resented.
So you're only talking about food now. You're not, I was thinking maybe rubber, but,
well.
Because that was rationed too.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, but, okay.
What was the most expensive?
No,
resented.
Resented, oh.
But by the... By American citizens, right?
Right.
How about butter?
No.
I would say sugar.
No.
Not sugar.
Meat?
No, it was gasoline.
Oh, I was going to say that. But I thought it was something. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Colette.
Thanks, bye.
That's right. Remember, is this trip necessary?
That's
signs.
Was that one of them?
Yeah.
I remember. And I always ask that myself, even now.
Laura, you go ahead.
All right. Well, I have a quick presidential question and then a longer one.
All right.
And there's a 20% chance I asked it, but there was a candidate in our lifetimes whose nickname was known as, who was running for president, a serious candidate who is known as the Great Pacifier. Who was it?
In our time?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
A serious third-party candidate.
Third party.
Well, yeah. Ultimately, a third party candidate. Initially, not
a great pacifier. So, is he a real peacenik?
Yes.
Okay.
But originally he was not a third party candidate.
I think originally he was running as a Democrat, and then he became because he had no substantive chance at all. He could only be a third party candidate as the great peace, one of the great peace candidates.
In our time.
In the last
60s, maybe?
Our time is, let's say, between the 40s and the nows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've heard that phrase, and maybe it's been applied to other people.
The great pacifier. Is this person still around?
And it was derisive, right?
I'm
pretty sure. It was humorous and derisive, and I am not sure if this person is still around. I think he or she is not.
Okay. All right.
And he or she was also known for something else besides being a politician.
Something else.
Mm-hmm.
A writer?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not like Barry Common or somebody like that, is it?
No.
That's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
That's a really good guess.
Citizens Party, Barry Commoner. I remember considered voting for him at one point.
Yeah, I could give a hint, but I think I won't. Somebody out there will know it.
All right.
It's a good answer.
And
that's such a good question, but it's a great answer.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from Hayward.
Hi.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
What did Jason Robards, Rod Steiger, Neville Brand, Ben Gazzara, and Robert De Niro all have in common?
They all played Al Capone.
Yep, give yourself a bell.
Excellent.
There you go.
Good job.
And did you know that, I don't know, I could add this up, but it's my second question. Here's a rather unusual one. During the six seasons of I Love Lucy, how many sets of furniture did Lucy and Desi go through?
In their apartment or in the Copa?
Well, actually, the apartment, though. Both in the apartment and when they moved to Connecticut.
Oh. So you're not including when they moved to Connecticut?
Yeah, well, I am clear when they moved to Connecticut.
You are, okay.
The furniture to go through.
How many apartments?
How many changes of furniture?
Set changes. In six seasons, right?
It's easier to hear you. It's much easier to hear you this week, Gareth. Did you get a new phone?
Let's
got a landline,
I see. I don't think they change it every year.
I'm going to go with three.
No.
All
right. I'll say two.
No.
Jerry, you want to get into
oh,
this?
I don't know. Five. I have no
yeah.
idea.
Yeah, you're so well.
Oh, really?
It's the first time Jerry's gotten one of Gareth's questions right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Excellent. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you a couple questions. I asked some city questions last week, and I'll ask another one this week. What are the three largest cities in the U.S. that have apostrophes in their names? What are the three largest cities in the U.S. that have apostrophes in their name? Now, let me sort of give you a slight bit of background on this. The Postal Service and the government, there are actually regulations against having apostrophe in
really?
Names of cities and places.
Why is that?
It implies private ownership to the Postal Service and the government. But there are certain exceptions that have sort of been grandfathered in. And these three cities I'm asking for are exceptions to that rule.
These apostrophes like O'Connell or apostrophes like Fisher's Creek? Because one's possessive and one, the post office shouldn't worry about the
right,
other one. Yeah.
Right, right.
But so there's a city called like
Glens, a little of both.
Okay, all right.
Like Glens Falls, isn't that a city in New York or something?
Maybe, but I don't think there's an apostrophe in it.
Oh, okay.
But okay, so what are the three largest cities in the U.S. that have an apostrophe in their name? They've almost vanished from. They didn't want to put them in signs either. That was the
yeah.
thing. Apostrophes have almost
these
vanished.
Pretty well known cities. Will we know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Two are quite well known. One is slightly lesser known.
Is Harper's Ferry? No.
That's good.
No.
Yeah.
That's good, but no.
Okay.
It's a very good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good question. Ah, geez.
So once more, what are the three largest cities in the U.S. that have apostrophes in their names?
Is either of them in the West?
One is.
And these are three.
Yeah. All right. Second question.
Oh, Springfield.
No.
Okay.
No. Not O Canada either. Second question. The first film of Shakespeare was in 1900. First film of a
play.
Of a full play, yes. Although it's not a feature film, but it's a shortened version of the play. It's in 1900. What very famous theatrical personage starred, and what role did this person play?
So what year was it?
1900.
God.
So it's a silent film.
Famous person.
Yes,
yeah.
Silent film. A shortened version of a famous play.
How about Sarah Bernhardt? That's her time, right?
As
Macbeth.
Titus Andronicus.
I think she once played Hamlet on stage.
I think she did.
You're right.
Did it?
It's Sarah Bernhardt who played Hamlet.
Okay.
Very good.
Good teamwork here.
Good teamwork.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Good one, Laurie.
Excellent. So that's the first film of a
First full film of a Shakespeare. Well, you know, a truncated version of a Shakespeare play.
Have you seen it?
It exists. A small portion of it exists.
Look it up on YouTube, people.
Yeah,
tell us
right,
if it's there. Yeah.
Right. So once more, what are the three largest cities in the U.S. that have apostrophes in their names?
Are either of them capitals? Any of them capitals?
None of them are capitals.
Okay.
No. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sheldon in Richmond.
Hi, Sheldon.
Let's see. I guess about the apostrophe. How about Grant's Tomb?
No.
not a city.
Not a city, as far as I know.
But probably the most popular tourist place.
Might be some termites that live there. I don't know.
All right. Here's the question for Dana.
All right.
Three actors have won three acting Oscars. Can you tell me who they are?
Spencer Tracy?
No. The only one, two. So...
Henry Fonda.
Meryl Streep?
No.
Oh, so it has to be exactly three, so it can't be more than three or anything like that.
Right.
Henry Fonda?
No.
No, Katharine Hepburn.
Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
Is one? Yes?
Betty Davis?
No.
Oh, not Katharine Hepburn?
No.
Oh.
Oh.
Not Davis.
Not Betty Davis.
Walter Brennan.
Walter Brennan, yeah.
That's right.
Three acting Oscars.
How many has Meryl Streep won? She won four.
Are you counting any special awards, like, you know, Jean Hersholt or anything, or the Thalberg Award? Or
no any? Acting awards?
As far as I know, these are actor, supporting actor awards.
Well, huh. Walter Brennan. Oh, Shelley Winters, that was just two. Andy Quinn, two. Diane Wiest, two. Who else won three? So the other ones are a supporting actor or actress?
I believe a combination of both.
Frederick March?
No, he won March. Two.
That's a good guess.
Kirk Douglas?
No, yeah, he never won.
Never won.
I did.
Jack Lemmon?
No.
No, that was two.
Burt Lancaster?
No.
No.
I give up.
Gosh.
are the other two still alive?
Yes.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Very good. Okay. Excellent.
For what?
Good.
My left foot and two others.
My right foot. And okay, so we just need one more,
and it's still living. Want to tell us the male or female?
Male.
So all three are males.
No,
we might need a hint, yeah, or leave it out if you want.
Anthony Hopkins.
I'll call him a front row actor.
Anthony Hopkins.
Front row actor. Anthony.
Nope.
Not Anthony Hopkins.
Front row
actor. I never heard that term. What does a front row actor mean?
Oh.
Frontier. First tier. You mean?
Think of the Oscars.
Jack Nicholson. Yeah. Yeah. Goes in the front row with the Academy Awards. Oh, all right. Okay. There you
That's
go.
That's good.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate it. Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, that number is area code 415-841-4134. That is 415-841-4134. Or toll free at 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Let's see. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman. New book, Showstoppers, is coming out next month. And, of course, Lori Fisher, Professor Emeritus, Dabo Valley College, who's soon off on a long European vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And, Jerry, it is your turn, I believe.
Okay. What are the only three Broadway show tunes to win Song of the Year Grammys?
Song of the Year Grammys.
So that means they were released as a single recording, as a separate record, right?
I guess, yeah.
How about People?
No. Good guess.
How old is the oldest one? Do you know? Or is it
Seven? The oldest one is probably about... let's see, close to 50 years old, maybe.
50 years.
How many are going to be featured in your book? All of them?
Two out of three.
All right. So two out of three authentic showstoppers, and they're old.
Grammy Award.
For Song of the Year.
Song of the Year, yeah.
How about, trying to think of ones that became separate hits. As Long as He Needs Me from Oliver?
No, that's a good guess.
But it's in that kind of...
Memory from Cats?
Oh. No.
Oh, yeah. It's not old enough.
Well, no, he said the oldest one is 50.
Oh, the old, okay.
Once more, Jerry, just repeat the question.
What are the only three Broadway show tunes to win Song of the Year Grammys?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm Ed from Beverly, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
I liked your opening when you were talking about the podcast. That applied to me. I just discovered your show about 2 weeks ago, and since then I've been listening to the podcast almost nonstop, and I love it. It's a great show.
Wow, oh, thanks a lot, Ed.
They hold up well, huh?
You got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, I am. And the funny thing is I'm listening to them backwards in reverse, you know, current and then going back. And so I'll hear a reference on 1 week's show to last week we did such and such, and then I'll listen to last week's show, and I hear whatever it was you were talking about. So it's a lot of fun.
And the nice thing is we're all getting younger and younger.
Yeah, we're the Benjamin Buttons of radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry looks youthful.
Um, Well, I got a couple of attempts here, and then I've got a question for you that I've been thinking about. With the apostrophe, I'm not sure if this counts as a city, but being from Massachusetts, the first thing that popped in my head was Martha's Vineyard.
That is one of them.
Oh.
Martha's Vineyard, yes.
Oh, Martha. Very good.
Yes. They tried to take away the apostrophe from them, and Martha's Vineyard rebelled and were able to keep it.
Martha's family.
In Massachusetts, we're good at rebelling.
Yeah.
So.
I'm glad you stood up for that.
Good job.
Yeah, save the apostrophe.
I had Sarah Bernhardt for the song of the year. How about Hello, Dolly?
Yes.
Oh,
good.
Makes perfect sense. Very
that's
good.
That's the oldest one, yeah.
Right.
All right, good. Now let me try my question on you. It's not necessarily each year that the most popular movie is always the best movie. I went and did a little research and found that in the history of the Academy Awards, there have been 13 times that the top grossing film of the year was also the Best Picture Award of the year.
Ooh.
Wow.
Mm. So can you guess?
Well, one of the Lord of the Rings won, right? Or maybe two of them?
No, didn't win the Best Picture.
How about the Best Years of Our Lives?
Nope, not there.
Okay.
Gandhi?
Gandhi won the Best Picture, wasn't the top grosser of the year.
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur is one of them.
All right. Good job. Let me ask you this. How far back does this go?
They're pretty well spaced out. One every decade except the 70s and the 50s each had three.
Was Star Wars best?
Around the World in 80 Days.
Around the World in 80 Days is not on the list.
Oh. Okay. Huh. So.
Best picture and most money. It's a lot to go.
Yes.
And the most money is for its year, you know,
yeah.
So it's not...
Right.
There's no inflation or anything.
How about... Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, definitely.
So there's only one... There was only one in the 1930s?
No, there were two in the 30s. So three in the 70s and 50s, two in the 30s.
How about the...
And then one every other decade.
How about The Godfather?
The Godfather was on there, yep. 1922.
How many more do we have?
How about happened? It happened one night.
It happened one night, 1934.
All right, good. So that's it for
we
the
we have four
and forties. Forties of and fifties. So there were three in the 1950s. You said
three in the 50s. You already got one with Ben-Hur.
Right.
From Here to Eternity.
What's that?
From Here to Eternity?
From Here to Eternity, no. Yeah. But it was a war movie.
All right.
Bridge on the River Kwai?
Bridge on the River Kwai. That's
okay.
The one.
All right. Huh.
Should we leave it out?
Yeah, let's leave it out. Let's let people guess at
we
it.
Have,
and
we have
then,
five of them.
And then we can give other people a chance.
All right, terrific. Yeah, I talked to your producer before I got on, so I'll go back to him and I'll give him the titles.
All right, thanks a lot.
Great.
And thanks for listening to the show and calling.
Hey, I love it. I'm going to keep listening.
All right, thanks, man.
Massachusetts Bye-bye. Fan Club works, man.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's see. Lori, I think it's your turn.
All right. I'm going with the presidential theme.
Mm-hmm.
There have been six nominations for Best Actor or Supporting Actor for people actually playing real presidents. One of them was a winner. The rest were just nominated. Who are they? So six people were nominated for playing real-life presidents. Give each two. One of them won. So which of the six won, and who are the five nominees? One was supporting, and the rest were all for
Well, Daniel Day Lewis for Lincoln.
Yeah, so that's the winner.
Yes. And how about Anthony Hopkins playing John Quincy Adams Amistad.
Yes, that was the supporting actor.
Right.
So recusing you from the rest for
okay.
a while. So
right.
we're looking for four more. We got Anthony Hopkins for John Quincy Adams and Daniel Day-Lewis for Abraham Lincoln. Four more were nominated for playing a real-life president.
Mm.
Who are they?
All
well-known.
Just to remind you, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. If you listen to KLW, you hear that number ad nauseum all day because every show uses it practically. And or toll-free, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Okay, let me do this question. I'm carting this around for a little while, and I think it's a pretty good question, so let's try it. What are the 10 most misspelled major city names in the U.S.? What are the 10 most misspelled major city names in the U.S.? And you have to spell it correctly.
Well, what is Berkeley major enough? Because that's misspelled all the time.
That is not one of the top 10 anyway.
And I can spell that since I live there.
Yeah.
But that's not it, huh?
What are the 10 most misspelled major city names in the U.S.?
Along with the correct spelling.
Beverly Hills.
No.
Yeah, that's spelled.
We have some major cities here, too.
All right. Oh, major cities, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well.
Chicago on the list?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
Des Moines.
So.
No.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines, yes.
All right, okay, think of these major cities. Where people, all right.
What are the 10 most misspelled?
How about San Francisco?
No.
Really?
Although people do transpose that.
All the time.
The S and the C.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
All right. All right. So we need, wow.
Are any of them capital cities?
Ah, interesting question. One.
Oh.
Montpelier.
Ooh. No.
People spell that correctly?
Yeah. Not the top. How about
that's almost phonetic.
How about Phoenix? People get the middle.
Yes,
vowels.
Phoenix is one. Yes,
Phoenix, maybe.
I forget the
Very good.
All right,
Phoenix. Ooh. That's one. Okay. So, what are the 10 most misspelled major city names in the U.S.? And Phoenix is number 5. And Lori correctly spelled that. So, see if you can correctly spell it when you call in. Don't let that deter you. We make mistakes here all the time. So if you make a mistake,
where
it's
do
no
they
big
do
deal.
The research? Is this the post office?
I think
who would know?
I think this is
the post office.
It might have been the
most.
Post office. Yeah. I'm trying to think where I got this question. Should
we think east or west coast, or do you not want to tip
all around the town?
Misspelling is universal. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
How about Detroit?
Yes.
Really?
Very good,
now
Jerry.
Now you have to spell
very
it.
Very good, yes. Detroit.
D-E-T-O-R-O-Y-T.
You want to try it again?
And Nathan, Detroit.
D-E-E-T-R-O-I-T. No,
D-E-T-R-O-I-T. Yeah, very good.
Very
okay.
Close.
Detroit. Okay, so we have Phoenix and Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hello, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Did you guys ask a question about MOOC, M-O-O-B-S?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
What is that?
Man boobs.
What?
Man boobs?
Man
yeah,
boobs.
That's right. Unusually large male boobs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. And they're called moobs?
Called moobs, yeah. Right. I never heard of
it. Yeah, it's my birthday. Fuck yeah.
Male breasts, I should say, yeah.
Thank you.
Do we still have the delay on?
I know.
I haven't heard that much joy
we'll
in a long time.
The,
yeah.
Take that out of the editing department.
Yeah, it wasn't like that in rehearsal, you know.
No. Anyway, well, that's the correct answer, though, right, Jerry?
Yes, male
okay,
breast.
There we
large
go.
Large male breast.
Okay.
All right.
And next call. Thank you for your excitement.
A silly word. But,
hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm just trying to make you right.
No swearing now, Thomas.
Okay. All right. So basically, the fellow that called about the 3 Academy Award winners.
Right.
There were 5, not just 3.
Oh.
So you were right on Meryl Streep.
She's won just 3. Oh.
She's Iron Lady, and she's...
Thank you, Thomas.
Sophie's Choice, and what's that?
Kramer versus Kramer. Yeah.
So do you know the other missing person?
We didn't name him or her?
Her.
We didn't name her. Did we name her?
No.
Because we thought Katharine Hepburn, no?
No, that was wrong, because she's got 4.
Oh,
all right.
So 3 and only 3.
Who is the other missing person?
The other missing person has 2 for Best Actress and 1 for Support.
She's still alive?
No. We're starting in the 40s.
Greer Garson?
No.
No. 2 for Best Actress and 1.
Starting in the 40s.
In Support.
After 1942.
Claudette Colbert.
No, mm-hmm. Never. She won once.
No.
Not Betty Davis.
The lady who won in 44.
I'm getting old.
And 56.
And 56.
40.
And 74.
Oh.
We all love her.
We all love her.
Oh, sometimes I just blank out, Thomas.
Okay.
Who is it?
Ingrid Bergman.
Oh, that okay, right.
Of course.
Yes, so Gaslight and Murder on the Orient Express and Anastasia.
Anastasia.
Right.
Anastasia.
All right, there
very
we go.
Good.
Okay, so I was going to make some guesses, but my notes are so terrible. In the 50s, was The Greatest Show on Earth one of the big winners?
Oh,
you know,
no.
One of those.
We're seeing no.
Not according to our
okay, our
board
on the waterfront.
Yes, yes.
Oh, this was.
Yes. He shook his head, but he really meant yes.
Oh, he meant yes, because, you know, it was awful, but it was popular.
Yeah.
And the 70s one, French Connection?
We're waiting for the booth.
Wait, we're waiting for him to shake his... No, that means yes. No? No, that means no. Okay, fine.
He meant no this time?
No, no means no.
And what about presidents? Oh. I don't think Henry Fonda or Massey were nominated for Lincoln, were they?
Raymond Massey was very good for Abe Lincoln in Illinois. Very
I just
good.
Saw part of that the other
yeah,
day.
Yeah, not Henry Fonda, but right. Raymond Massey. Yes, nice
oh, cool.
work.
And definitely Jack Whitman for Truman.
Yeah, James Whitmore.
Whitmore.
For Give 'Em Hell, Harry. Oh, right. Now you said hell on the air too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's okay.
Okay, that's
okay,
good.
I just was calling to make Dana right.
Oh, thank you, Thomas. Very sweet.
Really, that's really shocking.
Yeah. What does that mean? Right? What?
About what my guess earlier about the Academy Award.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Thomas. Take care. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Lauren from San Mateo.
Hi, Lauren.
I know that voice, Lauren.
Yes, hi, Jerry.
Lauren Mayer, right?
Yes.
Lauren Mayer, okay.
Jerry Nachman fan, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all of us.
You have a new show, I understand.
Yes, I do.
You want to plug it?
I'd love to. I'm doing a show called Yes, Dear, with my husband, Scott Grinthal. And to our knowledge, I'm going to make this a trivia question. Who's the only cabaret duo performing these days where the woman is the pianist and the man is the front singer?
Lauren Mayer and her husband.
Yeah.
Scott Grinthal. And yeah. It's a Society Cabaret on October 14th. But I did have a trivia question for you having to do with singing and movies and stuff.
Okay.
Right up Gary's alley. What is the ultimate irony about the movie Singing in the Rain? And I'll give you a huge hint. Given that a central plot point has to do with Debbie Reynolds dubbing Gene Hagen's voice in the movie within the movie.
Well, she was dubbed.
She was dubbed too.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. And do you know who dubbed her for the speaking part?
I did not know that. Debbie was dubbed?
She was dubbed.
She could sing.
Not for everything. Her singing voice right. is dubbed by Betty Hayes, I believe, but her speaking voice, when she does just those couple of lines, our love will last till the stars turn cold, is Gene Hagen,
yeah.
Dubbing.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's great.
Dubbing yeah.
Gene and Gene Hagen's that's the other
iron.
Star, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah. Gene Hagen dubbed Debbie Reynolds?
Why that's couldn't she right. say that? Why couldn't she say those lines?
Just I don't know.
For those two lines.
Yeah, why, okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So I just thought I had to call in with that. I was going to try to answer the city question because I was going to guess Chappaquiddick, except I don't think I could spell it correctly, even if that was the right answer.
No, there are bigger cities than that.
Okay.
How about
all right.
Peoria?
No.
Yeah.
And good luck with your... Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of one, but I just wanted to at least say I love the show. I'm a new fan.
Oh, thanks a lot, and good luck with your show.
Thank you very much. Bye, right. Jerry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Lauren.
Tallahassee?
No.
All right.
And, Jerry, I believe it's your turn.
Okay, there's a new book on the 10 restaurants that shook the food world.
Oh, I have that question, too, but that's okay. No, go ahead. You got
then you can't answer.
All right.
The author names the nation's 10 most important restaurants. That is how they changed dining in America. How many can you name? I'll give you a few hints. It's a little New York-centric.
How many are New York? Seven or eight?
Well, about half a dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five are still open, two are chains, and one is in San Francisco.
Is one in Berkeley? Chez Panisse should be.
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Chez Panisse, yeah.
So that's not San Francisco. Just so we are the clear in the Bay Area. That's not your San Francisco. Is there still one from San Francisco?
Yeah.
Let me guess one because I would have guessed it anyway.
Oh, what do you mean?
No, the oldest one is Delmonico's. Yeah, in New York.
You would have guessed that.
Which is still, which to my surprise, is still around.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
It's 1827 it opened.
Right.
So these are ones that were not necessarily great, but influential.
Yes, that's
right.
And two are chains?
Huh? Two word chains, yeah.
So is McDonald's?
Two word chains.
Is what? McDonald's on there?
No.
Because that certainly influenced the world. Okay, but they're all quality.
Well,
yeah, all but one, all but one, I would say. Yeah.
Right. Is there any that are ethnic cuisine, like Chinese cuisine? A couple of them are. The one that they talk about in San Francisco that was in Michael Bauer's column, I think, was the Mandarin.
That's correct. That's right. very good. That's one of them.
So, Jerry, how many of them have you eaten at?
Let's see. I don't want to give it away. One, two, three, four. Four of them. Four, maybe. I don't remember if I ever went to the Mandarin, but
I've eaten at two.
Okay.
Two or three. Maybe three.
Which is the one, Keller's restaurant up in Napa?
French Laundry.
French Laundry. Yeah, is that
no.
one?
No.
Oh, no?
Okay.
No.
So we have three of them, right? Chez Panisse, right. Delmonico's,
yeah,
and
got
the Mandarin.
Yeah, Delmonico's, Mandarin, and Chez Panisse. So I'm looking for seven more.
Just read the premise of the question once more.
And there's a new book on the 10 best restaurants, most important restaurants, or a better word, as Laurie says, influential. How many can you name? Five are still open, two are chains, one is in San Francisco.
Let me just say that the name of the book is The 10 Restaurants That Changed America.
Yeah, that's
by a fellow named Paul Freeman. So
that's right. Very good.
And since we are a little past halfway through the show, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. You don't have to repeat that one, Jerry, but what other else you have?
One of the only three Broadway show tunes to win Song of the Year Grammys.
So you have one already, which is Hello Dolly, right?
Hello Dolly we have. Two more, yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking for the presidential candidate who ran as a third-party candidate who is nicknamed the Great Pacifier, and I'm looking for the final, the sixth person who was nominated for an Oscar for Best Actor for playing a real-life president. We got Raymond Massey, James Whitmore, Anthony Hopkins. Oh, I'm sorry, we're missing two. And Daniel Day-Lewis, so there's two more to get that we don't have yet. And as a hint, they both played the same president.
The two people who were nominated played the same president.
Mm-hmm. In different movies, but yeah, played the same president.
We already did Lincoln.
We did. He was also nominated twice, Raymond Massey and Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
We got Anthony Hopkins for John Quincy Adams and James Whitmore for Harry S. Truman. So the two remaining both played the same president.
All right.
Frederick March again.
Not him.
No.
He's always playing the president.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Is Franklin Roosevelt? No, not Sunrise at Campobello.
No.
Okay. And what are the three largest, the original question was, what are the three largest cities in the U.S. with apostrophes in their names? The three largest cities in the U.S. with apostrophes in their names. So far we have Martha's Vineyard. That's one of them.
Oh, yeah.
What are the other two? And what are the 10 most misspelled major city names in the U.S.? 10 most misspelled major city names in the U.S. I sound like Donald Trump where I repeat everything twice.
Have we got any of them?
Yeah, two.
Yes, Phoenix and Detroit.
Oh, that's right.
Although I don't think Jerry spelled Detroit yet right correctly yet, but we'll live with it.
We'll live with it. And try to spell it correctly when you make your guess.
Sheboygan. Oh, Sheboygan's got to be out there. No one can spell Sheboygan.
That's not a major city, I don't think.
You know that song, Mention My Name in Sheboygan?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, Bob and Ray used to have that. That was the
But that's not on the list.
No? How about Milwaukee?
Oh.
Nope.
Speaking of Wisconsin.
Not Milwaukee.
Okay.
That's a good one.
That is good.
Hard to spell.
So the 10 most misspelled major city names in the U.S. Okay.
How about Pierre, or what does it look like, Pierre?
Oh, maybe that's not major enough. I think there's like 15,000 people
that
live there.
Is that a state capital?
It is a state capital, but no.
Didn't make the list. So these are major-er than Peoria and...
Pretty much, yeah. Most are, yeah. Right.
Killing us.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And as far as misspelled city names, how about Minneapolis?
Weirdly enough, no.
How about Tallahassee?
No.
Philadelphia?
Yes.
Oh.
Philadelphia.
You spell it,
though. You want me to spell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Philadelphia.
Yep.
Okay.
How about Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
That is number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Which has an H on the end.
Yes.
Does Pittsburgh, California come on the list?
No.
It doesn't have an H.
It has no H on the end.
Right.
All right, spell Pittsburgh.
In Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Very good.
This is fun. Spelling bee on the air. I like it.
Excellent.
It's reminding me of teaching.
Good.
And wild guesses on presidential third-party candidates?
Yeah.
Gore Vidal?
No.
He Norman was, Mailer?
Nope.
All right.
And no one would call Norman Mailer the great pacifier.
yeah, that's true.
Misspelled city.
Yes.
Sioux City.
Oh.
No.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Sioux City,
Can
Sioux.
I make one more city guess?
All right.
Houston.
No.
Oh.
We don't have a problem.
And
so Mailer and Vidal would never be known as the great pacifiers.
No,
even had they loved peace.
It's not Gene McCarthy, is it?
It's not.
Good guess. Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. The word pacifier has two different meanings, and it means both of them here.
It does?
Yes.
Mm. I can't think of two meanings.
Not Harold Stassen, is it?
Not Harold Stassen.
All right.
Yeah, think of something that... Yeah.
This person was a writer as well? Is that what you said?
You asked if he was a writer, and I said yes, he was a writer, and he had a distinguished career as a writer and also in another profession that led to his writing.
Hmm.
He might be... It's another hint. He is one of the best-selling authors of all time.
Really?
Having nothing to do with politics.
Oh, it's not, wait a minute, no. Not Norman Thomas, but...
he wasn't Norman
Thomas. Wasn't the fellow who ran for governor of California in the 30s? No, it's after that.
Upton Sinclair?
Upton Sinclair.
No, not Upton
Who was quite a famous writer.
And it was a bestseller.
And he won the Pulitzer Prize. But that's not within our time, though.
Yeah. Right, right, okay.
Yeah, that's the Jungle guy, right?
The Jungle. Upton Sinclair, right.
Yeah. No.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Sid. So I only have one question for you today about...
You always say that, and then it turns out to be four questions. So, no. Okay.
Well, it is one question.
All
ancient
right.
scientists. Yes. One of them is known as the father of geography, and the other one is known as the father of mathematics. Who are they?
Mr. Rand or Mr. McNally? No?
Let's talk about the ancient time.
Archimedes?
No, he was, but not as famous as the mathematics. Well, let's talk about the father of geography. I'll give you a hint, please. Time is short. All right, he measured the diameter of Earth within 50 miles accuracy in the year 240 B.C.
240 B.C., wow.
Yeah, would you believe that? And 300 years ago, executing people for saying the Earth, and some Americans still believe the Earth is flat, or the sun go around the Earth. Yeah, but this man, he knew the sun go, I mean, the Earth go around the sun. He measured the diameter of Earth within 50 miles, believe it or not. Very close. Yeah.
He was Egyptian, right?
Well, that is one part of it. What was his name?
His name was Ptolemy the Elder.
No. Ptolemy actually did a lot of work in astronomy. No, Eratosthenes, I always, hard to pronounce his name. Eratosthenes.
Yeah.
Very clever guy. And he actually did it using simple things. But he had a poor guy walk all the way from Alexandria, all the way to Aswan, which was 600 miles on foot, to measure the distance and to measure the sun's shadow in between.
Can you believe that? Hope he didn't lose count along the way.
Yeah.
Start
the
over.
Scientist, father of mathematics. He also lived in Alexandria. And this was a lot of Greeks went and got their education.
Hmm.
So who is that? The father of mathematics.
That I do not know.
What year are we talking about?
We're talking about roughly the same period.
Same time.
Yeah.
Ptolemy the Younger.
400 B.C. Well, the 300 B.C.
We don't know.
Don't know.
Pythagoras. Pythagoras. I guess.
Pythagoras.
Pythagoras.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love his
now,
theory.
And the both were involved with Alexandra University. In one way or another, but they were just great people, and that was a great time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Old AU.
Yeah.
A lot of famous alumni. And...
Their football team's not doing so well. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's your turn.
All right. I think it might be. So here is... I'm on the same theme with the presidential debates here. I'm going to give you the names of five actors. These are actors who were nominated for Best Actor of the Year for an Emmy. I'm going to tell you the actor's name. You tell me which president they played on television to get this nomination.
Oh.
First one is, they're all famous, I think, Robert Vaughn. Second one is Jason Robards. Third one is Beau Bridges. Fourth one is Kenneth Branagh. That surprised me. And the fifth one is Dennis Quaid. So Robert Vaughn, Jason Robards, Beau Bridges, Kenneth Branagh, Dennis Quaid were all nominated for the Best Actor of
Quaid
the Year.
Quaid played LBJ.
No.
That was Randy Quaid, his brother, who was also nominated.
Didn't Robert Vaughn play FDR at one point?
No, not that he was nominated.
That's what I thought, too.
Okay.
And these five, none of these won, not that that matters.
All right, could you get just the list once more?
Okay, Robert Vaughn, the man from Uncle, Jason Robards, Beau Bridges, Kenneth Branagh, Dennis Quaid were nominated but did not win the Emmy for Best Actor in either. They were all what they call miniseries or short-term series.
Kenneth
Branagh.
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh.
Beau Bridges.
Did he play FDR?
Kenneth Branagh did. Very good. Give yourself a bell for something called Warm Springs.
Okay,
so that's one of them. Still looking for Robert Vaughn, Jason Robards, Beau Bridges, and Dennis Quaid.
Jason Robards.
Robards might have played Lincoln. He looked like him.
He did, but that's not what he got it for.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it's all presidential all the time.
And the number to join us here with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. Your local public radio quiz program. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Paul from the Richmond
District. Hi, Paul. Yeah, go ahead.
Cincinnati might be one of the misspelled cities.
Oh,
it is indeed.
Oh, yeah.
C-I-N-C-I-N-N-A-T-I.
I have to think every time.
Very good.
It, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, a lot of people put two T's at the end, but no, it's just one T.
Okay, and what about Schenectady?
Oh.
An excellent guess, but no, not Schenectady.
No one could spell it. Last week, you asked for a number of city questions.
Yes.
And in the rush at the end, you didn't give the answer.
You are quite right.
Directional.
And thank you very much for reminding me.
Could San Francisco be one of them?
That's a very good guess. I think the question you're referring to is the largest city in the U.S. with a direction in its name, north,
right,
south, east, or west. And it is actually North Las Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a real city.
Nobody can get that.
Great classifier for Henry Clay.
No, that wasn't what I have.
That's the Great Compromiser.
Yeah.
He's also called Great Pacifier.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Was he? Oh, very good. Okay, give him a bell then. Yeah. I didn't have that.
There you go.
Yeah, and very good.
I can't get beyond Eugene McCarthy, who was a poet as well as a candidate.
He was, and I don't think he was known as that. If he was, I'll put him with the Henry Clay. But it's of that era. The war he was pacifying against was the same war as McCarthy, the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
So that sets us in a time period as we get close to time.
Third party. Huh?
Third party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Regarding the actors that were nominated for playing president,
yes.
How about Anthony Hopkins for Nixon?
Correct. Very good. In the movie called Nixon.
I said Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, but, you did? We had Anthony Hopkins for John Quincy Adams. Okay, we got that. And now for Nixon. If Jerry got it, I didn't. Yeah, very good.
And then the Great Pacifier, I'm just guessing Sinclair Lewis?
No, not Sinclair Lewis. Another writer. Very good. But I don't think he didn't
run. Upton Sinclair, probably.
He came to my mind because of Upton Sinclair. Somebody mentioned him.
Yeah.
He was the best pitchers that were also the most popular. How about maybe Streetcar Named Desire?
Looking in the booth.
He's shaking his head no. No, it doesn't mean yes. Yes, okay.
How about Schindler's List?
Oh, that's a good... Nope.
And probably not, but how about Coming Home?
Coming Home. No.
Okay, how about the restaurants that were influential? How about Spago's?
Jerry.
No.
How about Elaine's?
No.
Okay, I have a quick question for you guys regarding presidential candidates.
All right.
This is a mini-series. I'm not sure if it's on TV or not, but Angelina Jolie played she won an Emmy for playing the mistress of this presidential candidate. Who was that?
In the TV series, huh?
Yes.
A real presidential candidate?
Yeah.
Oh.
Interesting.
So you want to know which president?
Presidential candidate.
20th century?
Yes.
Gary Hart.
No, he was from the South. I don't know if that helps, but
not
very controversial.
Not Bill Clinton.
No,
Wilbur Mills.
No. Presidential candidate.
Okay.
Not a president, a presidential candidate.
Yeah. He ended up switching parties. First he was a Democrat, then I think he was Republican, then he went back to Democrat, or I'm not sure, but he changed his views quite a bit.
Well, I just was reading about James Madison. He did that. It's not him, is it?
No.
Is it Southern?
I'll just tell you, because I'm sure there's
Strom Thurmond.
Huey Long.
It was George Wallace.
Oh, okay, right.
And what was the name of the character she played again? What was his mistress's name?
I don't know the name. I never actually saw it. I just saw documentary about her, I think.
I think Gary Sinise played George Wallace.
That was it, yeah.
Right. Okay, thanks. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay,
bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
What are horse latitudes, and why are they called that?
Ooh.
That's a nautical term, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a sailor's term. Let's see.
Boy, I should know.
H. Allen Smith had a book called Lost in the Horse Latitudes. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
The Doors might have had a song called Horse Latitudes. Anything to do with the constellations?
No.
Okay. Horse latitudes are in the either the South Pacific or the South Atlantic. Is that? Am I at all correct on that?
South and North.
South and North. Okay. No, I don't know what their origin or meaning is. No, I don't know.
There are bands of latitudes across the ocean that don't have very much wind, so that vessels get becalmed in them.
Okay.
Why do they use the word horse?
There are two theories. One is that the Spaniards crossing to Central America would get becalmed there and have to throw their horses overboard because they didn't have water to give them.
Oh, that's terrible.
And the other is a horse, two-horse is a nautical term, meaning to be carried by a current when you don't have wind. So you know, the current horses you along, like a rider on a horse.
Huh. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Let me throw in a question here. Well, should I throw in a question?
Sure.
All right. What three Russian historical figures have been portrayed the most in movies?
Wow. Rasputin.
Yes. That's the one I thought nobody would get.
Stalin.
That's my job.
Yes.
That's that was the other one. Okay.
Rasputin, Stalin, and?
Olga Corbett. No, probably not.
No.
Lenin.
Yes.
Lenin.
All right.
Oh, you
can't. Well, you're glad you asked that question. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Lenin, 92 films, Stalin, 50, Rasputin, 33. Okay.
You got another?
No. I'm not going to waste another question like that on you. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, is this me?
It is you.
Hey, this is Mike from Louisiana.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Nationwide show tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I've been listening for several years. I want to guess on the difficult to spell cities.
Okay.
Tucson.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah.
Excellent.
Go ahead, spell it.
And Albuquerque.
Oh.
Yes. Very good.
He's got to spell them both to get the bell.
Yeah, you got to spell them both, though.
Oh, Tucson. Capital T. You have to put the capital in there. People didn't do that earlier.
Right.
Capital Tucson.
Yeah, excellent.
Albuquerque. I used to live there. Albuquerque.
Excellent. Good job.
All right.
That's not number
one. And I know y'all like city and geographical questions. Here's one for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is the only city in the United States that the letters that are used to spell the city name are not at all common in the state name?
Wait a minute. This has come up. So none of the letters in the capital's name are
in the state name.
In the states are common in the state's name.
Well, correct. It's the only city in the country. It happens to be the capital. You kind of gave yourself a hint there.
Right.
That narrows it down.
This has come up.
Come up on your show.
I think it has, and I have to think now.
It's the only city capital that has corresponding.
How about Des Moines? Is that the capital?
No.
Oh, that has an O. Sorry.
It's not Pierre. Is it Pierre?
Yep.
Pierce.
Oh, Pierce, South Dakota.
Pierce, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And they have no corresponding letters.
No
right?
corresponding letters.
Okay. Okay.
Pierce come up twice tonight.
Yes. Yeah, indeed.
Okay. Can I ask one more?
Denver? Oh, Denver.
Very good. Yeah, Denver. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead.
No, Denver and Colorado both have an R in it.
Oh.
Well, except for that. if you're going to be picky.
He's shaking his head no. You know, he's just, yes.
What is the most common surname in Canada?
Mackenzie.
Abboot.
I heard this on the news the other day, and I was shocked myself because, honestly, I don't think I had ever heard this surname.
Is it a does it have a slightly French sound to it?
It is not English.
Oh. So it's surprising that it has an origin in another...
Correct.
Like Hispanic or, you know, Spanish. Or excuse me, Hispanic or Italian or whatever.
O'Connell.
And I know,
something
you, I know
like
you're
that.
Closing in on time.
How about, how about Martin?
No.
Well, that's a great guess.
One syllable.
Most popular Canadian surname with one syllable. Smith. Is it more like that, like an American name?
Well, he said it was said it didn't.
It is not an American
okay.
name.
All right, what is it? What is it?
It has two letters.
Two letters. Oh, so it's Asian influence then, isn't
Correct.
It?
Correct, yes.
So is it L-E?
It's L-I.
L-I.
So, I believe they pronounce it Lee.
Lee, right.
Wow.
I was shocked at that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, no, never too surprised. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right.
And one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Howdy, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How about Apostrophe Cities? How about Grants Pass?
Ooh.
That's a good one.
That's a good guess. No, not Grants Pass.
No? How about Honolulu? Maybe that's spelled with apostrophe sometimes.
Nope.
Well, it is sometimes, you're right. Mm-mm. And sometimes misspelled.
Okay. How about the President? How about the Academy Award? Frank Langella?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, for
also
Nixon.
Frost Nixon.
Good job.
Right. Very
job
nice. Thank you.
Also, right?
Right. Yes. Right.
Yeah, Hopkins and Frank Langella both played Nixon. Very good.
Right. In the Oliver Stone Nixon. And let's see, top grossing movie that won Best Picture, Titanic.
Titanic? Uh-oh, he's not paying attention anymore.
Nope. Oh, well.
Yes, Titanic.
And I'll ask, what public broadcasting personality is on the board of Normal?
Gosh, no, I don't know.
Dana Rodriguez.
No, not me.
It's Rick Steves.
Really?
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, we have to run because we're almost out of time.
Thanks.
Thank you
Great
so much.
Show.
Okay. Time to clean up here very quickly, Jerry.
The only three Broadway show tunes to win Song of the Year Grammys are Hello Dolly, which someone guessed, Send in the Clowns, and What Kind of Fool Am I? Oh. And a new book on the 10 most influential restaurants in American history. The oldest Dana got Delmonico's, Schraff's in New York, a chain, Howard Johnson's, a chain, La Pavillon in New York, Four Seasons in New York, and Sylvia's in New York, Harlem, I think.
Right.
Robert Vaughn played Woodrow Wilson. These were for Emmys. Jason Robards played FDR. Bo Bridges played Richard Nixon. Dennis Quaid played Clinton. And the great pacifier was Dr. Spock.
Oh, okay.
Writer,
all right.
Doctor, and
that
anti-war advocate, yeah.
Okay, the three largest cities in the U.S. with apostrophes in their name, Martha's Vineyard, O'Fallon, Illinois, and the one that I'm surprised nobody got, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
What was the second one?
O'Fallon, Illinois.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of that one.
Anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight, well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman, Professor Emeritus from Diablo Valley College, Laurie Fisher, who will be off to Europe, and I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Enjoy the debate tomorrow. Don't cry too much. Take care. Bye-bye.